Hi.
Hey. How are you? Another long day here.
Yeah, we're grinding.
Yeah.
We're grinding. I've liked the last two episodes we did of this.
Good. I enjoyed doing them.
I think this one will be interesting as well. Talking about the individual, coaching individuals. We touched on it a bit in the last episode, but this episode will be a deep dive into it. So we'll cover like some stuff about roles, like being a role player, those kinds of things, different kinds of personalities. And then the interesting twist at the end that I was kind of thinking about as I was typing it out.
Quiz?
Today? No. The parents.
Yeah.
At the end. Because like the parents are individuals too. And you have to like navigate parents individually as the parent or as the players. Right?
Oh yeah.
So that'll be like an interesting thing kind of to wrap up on. But you had a good topic to start today.
Yeah.
So you can start on that one because I think it'll be an interesting thing of note for people. So, yeah.
So actually, this is for coaches and really the helpers that come on the ice, instructors and stuff like that. Like hockey's dangerous, by the way. Eh?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And this is what I wanted to say. It's kind of like coaches' safety. So as I took a slap shot in the, which no, I turned. So it hit me there in the middle of a game. I was coaching Bell Tire, and that was six stitches or eight stitches.
You were on the bench. I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. I broke my nose, took a slap shot to the, not a slap shot, but a snapper to the face, broke my nose and cut my eye. Fell on pucks a couple times. So, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because, okay, so last week, Dale Mitchell that works with us, he was right beside me, and he didn't see a puck standing there, and he stepped on it, and I was going to say something, but it just happened, like, fast, slow motion.
Yeah.
You know when it happens, exactly. But you had a whole paragraph that was coming out of your mouth. Then he luckily landed on his hip, shoulder, but then you could hear with his head. And I thought he was playing dead, like, as a joke, because he jokes around all the time, but he was KO'd for a little bit. I actually had to help him up, and he was foggy for the whole day. So I'm like, I told him, and I always tell the guys, I said, be careful with pucks. So I'm going to go through stuff like that. So then, ironically enough, Monday this week, was it Monday or Tuesday? Tuesday this week. Yeah, Monday this week. I was coming around the net slowly, and a puck, I was doing a cross under, like the crossover, cross under. And so my inside left leg stepped on a puck.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going real fast, but I was going a little bit, and down I went, and I landed like my shoulder
weird.
Out. Yeah, what would you call that? Like a chicken
like
a wing?
Like roach. Oh, chicken wing, yeah.
Yeah. And then my stick came across my head, but fortunately, I don't care if I cut my face, actually, but the toe of the blade landed first, so I hit myself with my forearm in the face, so not a big deal. So I got up, not a big deal. Everyone saw it. So I said, we just kept going, but then started going. So I did some serious damage to my shoulder this week.
Yeah, good tweak on it, eh?
Yeah. So, so I could talk about all that kind of stuff, but here's something for coaches. These are actually, it's going to sound like maybe some people say, well, okay there, dude, but it's actually very dangerous. So like, I feel a ton safer when I'm skating with pros and juniors. And those pucks are flying by my head. Like if I'm doing passing and stuff like that, when you're coaching youth, I tell kids all the time, if you stand in the middle of the ice, because I've had this happen a couple times. I'm like, oh, I got to be smarter than that. Where a kid, because they're not paying attention, right? They could slide. They could just slide into a line. And then they hit you from behind and you knock yourself out. So I don't wear a helmet. Okay, so maybe I'm...
Yeah, maybe you're dumb.
Maybe I'm like old school, right? But maybe I'm dumb, but I'm not going to wear a helmet. So, but if you fall backwards, you're toast. Pucks all over the ice, dangerous. Standing in areas where... Like if you're doing drills, for example, let's say you're doing a neutral zone belly up drill and you're near the boards and the passes are like you're standing at center ice and the passes are coming there. It could very easily get chipped, get you in the head, in the nuts, anywhere, right? Shins, get a lot of shins. So position yourself the best you can, as often as you can as a coach on the boards and get pucks away from your feet. So if you can do that, it eliminates a ton of problems, like a ton. But like, it's actually there's many days. Like I'm aware of it all the time. I tell guys all the time, pucks get near the boards because there's so many things. So like, as a coach, and especially with younger kids, watch the middle of the ice. Stay away from the middle ice as much as you can because it's scary. And now, I'm a guy that can skate and I have
balance. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, like right? I don't fall
right
typically ever.
Yeah. Like but you're a very good skater. You've been skating forever. You're very skilled at the game. You can see what's going on. You can be skating backwards and look around. You have the skill set.
Right.
And it doesn't matter.
And right? I work out. So my body is I've got a little bit of beef here. Good beef, by the way. I've got some beef here. Like if I do fall, I'm not breaking bones necessarily unless I land on the ribs because it's a heavy body still. Yeah. But so I take care of myself and stuff. And I've got
even just to perception. React to
yeah,
things,
that's what
right?
I mean. And
yeah.
I've been in those positions. So there's a lot of coaches that they might be dads or they haven't skated in a long time and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Not in
and
very
like,
good shape.
You can end it.
Yeah.
You can end it right there. In fact, there was a guy just out of town here. His son, I can't remember if he was a goalie or whatever, but his name, and he died on the ice. And this happens. So anyways, just saying, I don't even know if you need to have experience to ignore this stuff, but as a coach,
it's just a good reminder, man.
You can actually get very, very hurt. Yeah. And for me, it's my living. So, you know, so yeah. One thing that I regret doing, and I just, cause it's like so much time and I get so uncomfortable during the day. I used to wear shin pads, like ref shin pads. And I used to throw baby elbow pads on just cause you fall on your elbow,
shatter
that elbow, you're toast. Right. So anyways, I would never, if I look at a coach wearing shin pads and elbow pads, I'd be like, smart guy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Helmets, like for most people, I would say it's probably a good idea. For most, like yeah. I'm the exception of the rule. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But I mean, if I actually had more of a brain, I would probably wear one, but
yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, you don't want
I
to.
I don't. Yeah.
Well, like I was going to say, even just the thing about being in shape. Like we had a guy, this is actually no joke, a couple of weeks ago, old timers game they were playing and one of the goalies out there had a heart attack, right? I don't know if he made it or not. I actually don't know. He might've passed away right there, but it happened here. Like it was crazy. The ambulance here and everything. And because most of these guys, it's like, they don't do anything. And then they jump into like a high intensity situation where they're doing down ups or something in a hockey game. It's like, it's tough. Or like guys, they'll go out and because it's old timers hockey, they don't wear their uppers. Or whatever. And it just takes a one fall. Like we had another kid here, his dad wiped out.
Hockey
playing.
Player too.
Yeah, he played.
This guy was a good hockey player.
Good hockey player. Right?
Adult,
he was drafted,
hockey.
he played and yeah. He wiped out and like cracked a rib, like
ribs.
Yeah, ribs. I think I don't know if he punctured
lung.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was out for 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, right. So it's just a good reminder, like to bring that awareness, especially if you're somebody who's not 100% confident in your, let's say your skating or your awareness on the ice. Like you need to try to pay attention to what's going on around you because you
yeah.
can get hurt.
Yeah.
Sure.
So just a last reminder, if you're a coach, when you're watching drills and stuff like that, get your ass to the boards. I would highly suggest that. And then even when you're going to explain drills and stuff, get your ass to the boards and let the kids come in and then like shift them a little bit. So you know that their sticks, everything's out of reach. Yeah. And then just be aware in the middle of the ice, guys sliding behind you and stuff, because it can be, what's the word?
Dangerous.
There you go. Dangerous.
There's another word that would have been better.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something really intelligent.
Yeah,
but that
I know.
Long
sophisticated.
Day.
Yeah. And then long day.
Hey, guys. My name is David. For the last roughly year or so, I've been a member of the PowerTech podcast, and I've trusted Eric and Andy to help me as a hockey dad raising my kids and trying to figure out the answers. I don't have all the answers, and it's a great source of information, and it's an area where I feel comfortable leaning on to help me make better decisions. With that said, one thing I do know about is supplements. I find it's hard to navigate the whole supplement world and make sure that you're using products that work, that are effective, and again, are science research based. Blue Star Products, incredible brand. Their products are based on research, science, the products work, trademark patent ingredients, and you can find all of the research just by scanning QR codes that are right on the back of the product. Thank you to Eric and Andy for their podcast. I think it's amazing, and definitely give Blue Star Products a try.
Coaching individuals on a team. So when I was writing out the notes today, one thing that I kind of thought might be an interesting place to start is how different it would be coaching someone in an individual sport versus a team sport. So one example that I thought of was George St. Pierre as an MMA fighter. That's a 1v1 sport. And all of his coaching, all of everything is super hyper individualized to him and his personal success. I would imagine, I haven't coached an individual sport before, but I would imagine things like tennis or whatever other sport where it's just you that you have to worry about is probably a lot different than coaching a team style sport. So,
for sure, man.
So I think a lot of the things we're going to talk about obviously will have crossover, but I just wanted to point that out to start is like, keep in mind, we're talking about a team, coaching an individual in a team setting. So that's kind of the first thing that I wanted to lay out. So maybe you could start off, we talked about it a little bit last episode about having to coach an individual, but maybe you can just start with some opening remarks or opening thoughts on individual style coaching and kind of what you think about that in general, more or less.
Yeah, I think it's really important that everybody has a relation, or the coach has a relationship with every single kid on the team. It's one thing to coach X's and O's. The team does this, the team does that, but it's very, very important. And it goes a long way if every individual knows that they have one or two things or just time from the coach that they spent and said, okay, here's what I think about your game. And within that, like number one, the player feels like, okay, you actually care about me. Like you actually are watching my game and you're giving me something individual to work on. Because you could just say, like, I want to be a high scoring fast team, but you're like the slower guy that hits people, let's say, then does this team even apply to me? So it's really important to take kids individually and show them their strengths and weaknesses. Like show them, this is what you're good at. Keep doing this. This is where I'd like to see you improve, and talk to them and coach them through that, because now they know something applies to them. They're never left out, right?
Yeah. I think one of the things that you mentioned, I think you kind of just said it in passing in the last episode too, by accident, which is funny because we planned this out a while ago and you ended up saying the same thing in the last episode just by accident. But you were talking about how like moments of development for kids happen with that coach player interaction.
A lot of them do.
So, you know, if you're generically explaining things to a team, like obviously that's one way and kids can develop a lot just from that alone. But I think the more impactful moments come on that one-on-one situation. And it might not even be a hockey thing. It might just be like a conversation you have in passing. Because I say this all the time. It's like, I'm shocked and surprised by the types of things that kids remember that I said. So it's like, we'll have some conversation and like 4 months later, 5 months later, a year and a half later, they'll recall something I said to them from so long ago that I just like threw out in passing and thought nothing of. Like,
'cause it was about them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Where it's like, it wasn't even important to me. Like it meant nothing to me. I didn't even remember I said that maybe, you know?
Well, a good example was yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Days are running into each other when we were talking about, when we had Adam speaking to the kids, who was a college player. And at the end of it, it was a general thing. This is my route. This is how it worked. This is how I got to college. This is my story. You guys, if you stick to it, all that stuff. And it was a general thing. And then I just wanted to put my two cents in. And I told them that, you know, everybody's in it as players. So this is the group, right? I said as players, because these kids really did care. Okay, right? No one's on the fast track on this one, but these players really do care. And they did really well this week. I was really proud of them. So I said, like, everyone's in a hurry to get to the fastest, you know, to the highest level as fast as you can. And of course, everybody wants that. But I said, no one here is on that track. And that's okay. I said, because now you got a story of a couple times now where you've had someone come in and talk to you, but that it doesn't have to be that. You can still have success. Like, here's a 22-year-old kid that's got a school paid for. He's going to play for another 4 years for sure. Blah, 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 blah. So that's the general. So then I looked around and I was trying to motivate them, I guess, if that's the word, that if you stick to this plan, it can work for you. So if I leave it at that, then everyone says, oh, then it can. But how could it work? Like, does it work for me? So that's where the magic comes in. So I looked at Jax, right? 6'4", big man. He's just getting into his body. So that's what I said to him. I know he could take a little bit of, he's a smart kid, right? So I know he could take it. So like Jax, for example. I know I could be honest with you. He goes, yeah. So you're a big boy. I said, you know, you haven't hit your stride, but you're coming along good. And I said, I truly believe that you can be a kid that blossoms in the next couple of years. Like, I truly believe that. Cause then I said, look at how hard you're working. Look at all the things you're improving on. you're getting into just getting into your body. I said, but you know that you have to do some skating, right? Would that be your weakest? He goes, yeah, probably. I said, so if you took the next 6 years or 4 years and really, really did things just to work on skating, where do you think you would be? And he's like, yeah. You know, so I gave that as an example. I went around just to a couple of kids, like Luke and a couple of kids. I said, like, you've improved so much in the last. That's the difference now. So they took that general thing where a lot of them were probably, yeah, this is cool, maybe, but is it over? And then you individualize and it's specific. Like, now it's like, yeah. Oh, like, now I like this speech. And now, oh, the coach believes that I might be able to do something. So do you think that kid's going to go home and watch TV? Or is he going to get, coach actually believes in me. He pointed me out in front of everybody that I'm right. One that can do it.
And so with that second kid, it's funny because literally from yesterday to today, I noticed a change in his
100%
personality, just yeah. How he was behaving with the group.
And this isn't, it's not blowing smoke up their ass, right? Because I use real life examples where I think they could benefit, right? And if it makes them work that much harder and improve this much more and get to a level, that's awesome. Right. But the most important thing is like people will like as a coach, you influence people and you could do it one way or you can do it another. A lot of the times it's negative. And I don't mean you're not allowed to give kids shit, but a lot of the times they go, So I asked a goalie the other day, he plays for the Ottawa 67s, and we went back to youth hockey. So, how was he as a coach? He goes, I don't even want to talk about it. He couldn't stand him. He gave me all these things. He goes, I don't even want to go there. And he said, I don't want to talk about it now. That hit him. Whereas his coach in junior, he goes, I love him because he speaks to him. He plays and all that stuff, but you make a difference in the right way. So even if you're critical, if you're breaking down a kid's game, you're giving him attention.
Well, and think about what happens, because coaches that are like this are so few and far between that do this kind of stuff. So for these couple kids that we saw, like light a fire under their ass and now they're good to go. But then as the weeks go on and as the months go on, if they're not, it goes back to that environment thing again, if they're not in an environment where they're getting that, it's really easy to let that fire fizzle out, or like the next thing that's more dominant in their environment comes and takes them over, you know? And they're just so impressionable at that age. Again, I remember you used to do that to me. That's why that camp I used to do with you at the end of the summer, my dad would let me do one camp. It was your camp. It was the end of the summer going into the season. And I would come out of that camp just firing. Yep. Because you do the same thing to me. You would do the same thing, you know?
But you know how, this is the thing though. You're on the ice and you see a kid do something well, or you see him do something well 10 times, or you see 2 days of doing really well. Why wouldn't you say, Eric, you're having a great week? Oh, thanks, coach. That's nothing, but it's something. Coach recognized I had a good week, and yeah, I feel good. And it's not going to slow him down, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't lie. You don't lie.
That's a key,
you don't
too,
lie.
Because they can tell if you're bullshitting.
Because right? If you're not having a good week, I will tell you, say, hey, you're not on fire this week, man. Like, come on, let's go. You're recognizing, oh, yeah, he realizes, or he's recognizing that I'm dogging it,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Struggling, so, well, it's important.
Kind of because we're on along these lines, I had this broken up, like I said, starting to three categories. So we'll talk a little bit about personalities because I feel like we're heading that way anyways, and then we'll go into roles after that before we talk about parent stuff. So I think probably the most important thing we said this in the last episode too, is that not all kids are the same or respond the same way. So I can think of just several examples of even guys that or work out here where they drive you nuts because of their body language or their attitude, or they don't speak or whatever. And then we have other kids that are super engaged and super on it, whatever. And then you have other kids that are too much, where it's like they're too hardcore. So there's all these different types of personalities. And as a coach, it's important that you can be flexible to handle all of that. Right. And obviously it's like, again, it comes down to that communication, being able to communicate with those different types. But if you can't identify them in the first place, then that's difficult. And a lot of times I think coaches expect that the players just cater to them and what they want, which we've talked about this from the player side, and it's like, hey, you need to cater to what your coach wants, right?
Well, yeah, if you're the player, don't expect, like, don't hope that he bends your way.
Exactly.
You've got to not play, kind of play the game.
Yeah.
But you got to play the game.
Yeah. So then if we flip it onto the coach now, it's like, you shouldn't have to make your kids all bend to you. Like, you should be flexible enough to bend to some of the kids to make them to pump their tires in a way that's effective for the team.
Yeah,
right. 100%. So it's funny because I've thought of this a few times. If people cut clips of the podcast, like of us talking, there would be like direct contradictions in what we're saying, depending on which lens we're looking through. Right. And that's what makes it important. If we're looking at it from the player side, it's like, you need to figure out what your coach wants and try to do that. But then from the coach side, it's like, you have to try to be more open to the different types of personalities that you have to deal with. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that stuff. And, even if you want to use some examples of some of the guys that you've coached and maybe how to deal with some of those different types of personalities or the different types of personalities you've seen or whatever, something like that.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the times the kids' attitudes, like in, well, I guess at every level, sometimes it comes down from the parents, right? Yeah. So it's kind of good to know what the parents are like too, how they treat them. Because if you got a kid that can never do anything wrong, like, do you approach it with, okay, I'm going to be the one that shows him how wrong he is or where he's lacking in life? Or do you explain it in a nice way? Or do you, like, does it take more than one conversation, right? So I had, I could name all kinds of guys. You get guys that just, they're on the ice or in the dress. Well, let's go body language, right? Got a couple of those. They walk in here and you don't know if they're alive. You talk to them and they're looking at you like they got the eyes of a chicken. And for people that have never looked a chicken in the eye, the eyes move. They're looking at like there's nothing there. Yeah. Right?
Glass.
Just the glass over. Eyes, you know, and then they... right? It's like, okay, this is tough.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to try. So that's the personality for me, that it's this. That's so hard for me. That's one of the toughest. So let me say what I like as a player, as a coach and as a player. Okay. So then it maybe helps define. So I like energy. When you walk in, this is not what everybody has to be, but this is my way of doing things. I have energy. I give energy. And the day that I don't do that, shoot me. No, that's the way I feel. Because if I walk into a room and I don't bring energy and something and some leadership and some, hi, how are you, some laughs, then what am I, like, I feel like, what the heck?
You're not adding.
Right. Yeah. So if you don't come into that room like that, to me, it's like, are you in? Like, I don't understand you. So I had to adapt as a coach just for kids like that are like that. Because it doesn't make them necessarily bad players or bad people or bad anything. So, but that's the kid. So I like the kid that walks in, hey, coach, and hey, guys, and can joke around and have a good conversations as well, that has some energy. And it's when it's go time, they work hard. When you talk to them as a coach, they look in the eye, go, yeah, okay, or no. And then they apply it, right? And if they don't understand, they go, okay, what do you mean? Because I feel, or they suggest something. Yeah, when I do this, like, let's say shooting, I feel like it's better here. And then it's like, okay, well, that we're coaching, right? We're working together and we can accomplish something. But then you get some kids that look at you and they go, shake their head or don't shake their head. And it's like,
don't,
you understand? Yeah. or they look at you and you go, no, do you get it? And they go, yeah. It's like, I don't think you do, man. I actually don't. But sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. That's the struggle. So I take those kids and I spend time talking to them and I give them what I can. And surprisingly, some guys just are quiet at doing it. But then I'll say to them, just letting you know, you come across like you don't care, or you come across very indifferent or very lackadaisical or very whatever. And I said, this is my opinion. I think if you, when a coach gives you a suggestion or a hello, or maybe you do it first, say, hey, coach, how you doing? And when he talks to you, look him in the eye and say yes, no, with like a little bit of assertiveness, because otherwise they don't know if you're alive. Right? Now, the opposite side is you get the guy that you like the energy coming in and all this stuff, but it never turns off, man. Right? It's like there's a battery, turn it on full, and they're always joking around, always pissing around, always loud, always obnoxious. And it's almost hard to get them into the serious mode to dial in, even though that might be the way they go. So as a coach, you got to say, okay, he's driving me nuts. This guy's driving me nuts. Do I yell at him? You can. But you got to understand that personality might be something you just have to talk to. You say, Eric, listen, I love your energy. I do. I love your energy. But honestly, you have to settle it down sometimes, because there's a there's time and place where some guys like to be quieter, or you, I'm talking and I could just see you're jumping around and you're, you know, you got a problem here, and it's just too much. Like, have your fun, but like in this time for me as a coach, this is what how I want you to be. And if you don't have it this way, like, it doesn't sit well with me. So at least they know, both know where you stand, right? So that's why it's important to me. So you can address anything.
Well, I got just a couple other examples of like personality types. Maybe there's some crossover here. But you got, you talked about the bad body language kid. Talk about the kid that's maybe too over the top. But then maybe at the younger ages, you have the crybaby kid. You got my, the one that is personally difficult for me is the crybaby kid, or opposite end of the spectrum, the guy that's way too dialed in. That, well, I'll talk about that one in a second. You got like people pleaser kid, the kids that are like all talk, like rah, rah, rah. Or you got like the pretender guy that like acts like they're doing things right when they're not actually, and they cheat and this kind of thing. That one's particularly frustrating as well. But I want to flip it to the other side too, because a lot of times we'll rip on, you know, if, or people will criticize because they've done this with past podcast episodes. They'll say like, well, like some kids are just quiet or some kids are shy or whatever. And like, fair enough, man, that's fine. Just to be fair, I'm going to go to the other side. Like, we have a couple kids that are like so dialed into like training and everything has to be 100% perfect all the time. And it's to the point where they're counterproductive. And that's where it
ends up. And they're not having any fun doing it.
No, and it hurts them. It ends up just hurting them. Like, they're not becoming a better player or a better athlete or a better anything. So I have one clear example where I watch them play and it's like, dude, you do all this work. You do all this training. You do all this stuff. You put it into a game and it just, nothing. You get nothing out of it because you're spending so much time on every little detail that you're almost so focused that you can't see, you can't zoom out and see the big picture of everything and how to put everything together, you know? So that one is particularly frustrating for me because they can come across as, yep, like I'm right dialed in. I got everything going for me and I'm full of energy and all those things we said that we like, but they take it to an extent where it's like, now you're actually just counterproductive because you don't know when to turn it off, right? Like, it's okay to take a break, man. It's okay. Like, and if you were in that sweet spot, that Goldilocks zone of balancing it, you would take a break and you would know when to turn it on, turn it off, and all those kinds of things. So I think for any of these personality types, it's finding that balance where like you're not too extreme in either direction, because if you happen to be on the more shy end, then it's up to you to push into the other zone. And if you're too much on the other side where you're the loud, obnoxious, never shut the hell up kid, then maybe you need to figure out when to shut your pie hole here and there, you know? And I think the takeaway from that as the coach is, whenever you're addressing any of these different types of personalities, you want your goal to be, you want it to be productive when you go to deal with the kid, when you go to interact with the kid. Because a lot of times, especially if it's a kid that irritates you, because there's going to be kids that irritate you, and it might be one of these types of kids, one of these personality types, sometimes you just want to say something and like just to make them feel bad, or you want to say something just to hurt their feelings, or just because they're bugging you. Yeah. You know, like when you fight with your siblings,
yeah,
it's like you just want to say something that you don't even mean, but it's just, you're just bugging me.
Yeah.
Like, as a coach, I think everyone can understand that that's not a winning strategy for dealing with
so
the situation.
So it's a really good point. But the thing is, if you don't, this is why it's important to communicate it first, because if it comes out when that repressed anger, that repressed feeling, like, okay, the kid doesn't talk. Like, for me, that's the kid. Doesn't speak, doesn't look me in the eye, doesn't respond. Then when he does something, it's like you snap.
Right.
Whereas if you, this is your, to me, to get the most out of your players is you have that conversation. It's like, Eric, I got to be honest with you. Our personalities, and I wouldn't even necessarily say ours, what I need, this is what I actually need from you. I need you to look me in the eyes. I need you to say yes. I need you to say no. I need you to have some zip to you. If you don't do that, I'm going to have a real hard time with you. Like, I'm just going to have a hard time. I need that. I know it's probably out of your personality, but I'm telling you right now, if you don't respond this way, then I'm going to think you don't give a rip. And then that's the bad thing. So I'm telling you in advance. So then when it comes out and I do say, like, you know, you rip him for whatever, he's heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's heard it before. Right. And it's like, oh yeah, that's the thing.
Right. And this is why we're...
And then you can follow it up. Sorry. Then you can follow it up if you do rip. Get in the office or whoever. Say, listen, I don't want to... It's a simple thing. It's not a hockey thing. It's like, I told you. Right? I told you. So at least you are showing patience as a coach because you've spent time discussing it. Right. I won't do it every day, but I will. I'll do it at times. So, yeah. Anyways.
Well, the coach-player interaction on that, that's exactly what I mean. So if you're – because there's – like your coach, especially when you get to junior levels, whatever, your coach might rip you.
And you're going to rip
you. And the problem is, from the coaching perspective, if you have never said anything to them before and then all of a sudden you just rip the kid, that could be traumatizing for the kid, right? It could be humiliating. It can be – and it could be – we would hope that the kid is resilient enough to deal with it. But for a lot of kids, it could be like unrecoverable. Like they've lost all respect for you and there's no coming back. And that would be like worst case scenario and things like that. So doing exactly what you said, where you start from day one talking about these things, because maybe it's a limitation from you as the coach. Like you said, like this particular type of personality is really difficult for me to deal with. So I'm going to go try to deal with it in the best way that I can right off the bat. So everything's out in the open. We know what I expect and what I want. And if you don't do it now, at least it's not the first time you've heard this, like you were saying, right?
Yeah, and I've seen the coaches like that don't do that. Like I'm talking the high levels now.
Yeah, I have too. I played for coaches that do that.
So
right?
you get to the OHL or college. It's their job. You're playing for them. Like. Brendan Moore said it a couple weeks ago when he had a speech. He goes, like you said, you were talking about this, how he said, first camp, you come in here, the development camp, we're here to show you what can we do for you. After that, it's what can you do for me. So as a coach, a lot of coaches are in that position. It's like, I don't have to explain shit to you. You just do it the way I want. And there's coaches that don't talk. And if they don't like your personality, they can get away with it. It's like X's and O's, do this. And then when you don't, they just rip. They don't care about your feelings. Unfortunately.
Yeah, seriously.
And then you just get traded, or they move you or cut you, or you're in the doghouse all the time.
Yeah. The thing on the player side, that's why it's important you can have some maturity to deal with some of these things. But I think for coaches, particularly at the younger and younger age groups, it can be so frustrating, especially if you have that like Joe coach impulsive nature where you'll just snap because you're Joe coach and the kid didn't do exactly what you asked, especially when the kids are younger, right? Because you don't know what's going on with this kid, you know, like you actually don't know. You see him for a couple hours a week. You don't know what's going on. And a lot of times these personalities that are underdeveloped at the young age, those kids need a little bit of question asking, whatever. Right. Because that was the last point I was going to say about the personalities is like, you don't know what's going on with that kid at home, at school. And not every day is going to be a good day, you know?
Yeah. That's the thing when you're coaching is like, you hope coaches realize that, but I mean, you're the adult, and I'm talking about the youth kids, even junior and stuff. I mean, even college, even pro, not every day is a good day. You never know what's going on, but especially for kids. I think it's important to, there's a line though, right? There's a line where you don't want to get in there. How am I saying this? I guess you just have to be aware that maybe they just had a terrible day at school. Mom and dad were mad, like over the smallest thing. They've seen things or heard things from their parents or family, whatever. And if yelling at them or not having at least the conversation of all this stuff could be, like you said, traumatizing, right? Like, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, people say, well, we baby our kids too much. So yeah, that might be true a lot of the times, but in this situation, like everyone has a bad day. Some days I don't want to hear it. You know what I mean? Yeah. As an adult. So I mean, a kid that's going through a lot of emotions, I think it's important that coaches at least communicate well with them and know that at least the kid knows that things are coming from a good place, that the coach wants me to become a better player. Then you could actually probably handle a little bit more.
Especially the younger groups. Because like kids that act out, or that are a pain in the ass for whatever reason, or have some underdeveloped skill, like there's a reason for it. You know what I mean? Like it's not for no reason that this kid is scared of everything, or that this kid acts like a jackass 95% of the time or whatever. Like there's reasons, you know? I want to go to a little bit about roles again, because this is a little more hockey specific now. So we talked a little bit about it last week on having guys. We were talking about in terms of you have your team identity and then assigning roles based on the team identity, but what we're talking about here, I want to put more of like the how it will affect the individual player slant to it, because not every individual is suited for every type of role. So first, I guess I would ask you, talk a little bit about the different kinds of roles, because maybe people aren't even familiar about what specifically, like the example we always use is the power forward, but maybe we could talk about different forward defenseman roles that exist, just in case people don't know. And then maybe like what types of kids are better suited for certain roles. And even a role could be not even a positional thing. It could be like a leadership role versus not, you know, because like some kids could really handle being a leader and some kids might not be able to, even though you think they are a good leader or whatever. So you could talk about roles a little bit in that sense. And then we mentioned this last week too, about not, you don't want to limit the kid by putting them in a role necessarily, but then you could talk a little bit about balancing that, that kind of thing where it's like, okay, you're good. Like, here's your strengths. And this is the kind of role that I feel like you could fit into well without saying like, you can never try to stick handle because I think you're a power forward or whatever along those lines.
Yeah. I think like when you're young, the younger you are, the less roles you have, right? You're not going to sit here as a 7 to 10 year old or 11 year old necessarily and say like, you're a defensive shutdown D. I quit hockey then.
Yeah.
Right. That's not what you're trying to do, but I think it's when you get to, I'm just trying to think young here. I don't want to overcoach a young kid, but I'm just saying once you get over like 11 to 12 ish, you know, there's kids that move up the roster because they're just offensively gifted. Let's say they could be center wing D who doesn't really make a difference. That's more of an offensive guy. Now you want to teach them the other side of the puck as well. And then there's some guys that, you know, they couldn't stick handle if their life depended on it. They got muffins for a shot. They have no offensive instinct whatsoever. So like, obviously that's where rules sort of come from, right? You're kind of more defensive or more offensive, but of course, as a coach, you want to teach both. You want them to be good at both. But having said that, at every level, you can if someone's the perfect player for their ability, then you know, they're playing. What I mean by that is, if they're playing the perfect game for their ability, you're still going to have guys that are going to be the offensive guys, and you're going to have guys that are better defensively. That's just the way it is. So that's where your rules start to come in. So it's how you approach it sometimes is going to make the difference of what you get out of a player. So it's not about putting a kid in a box and saying, this is what you are. What it is about identifying through the team that this is where I see you fit to make our team better. So that doesn't mean because you're a defensive defenseman that you can never carry the puck up the ice more than 5 feet, right? That doesn't mean that at all. It just means that it's very, very important, Eric, that you, the defensive, like, so it's not about, it's important. It's about, this is where I really see your strengths. That's a good thing, right? That's the good thing. You're bringing them out. And I think if you look at a player, like, so the way to make it even better is if you're in, I'm just thinking of a team. If you're playing for the Guelph Storm last year, then you look at like one of our shutdown defensemen, right? Like they say Reeser a couple of years ago that played with Charlie, 6'5" defenseman that blocked shots. So if you're a kid in Guelph, right? And you go like, if like who I see you like is Ashton Reeser for the Guelph Storm. Watch how much he gets involved, blocks shots. No one scores when he's on the ice. Like it's a really good attribute. Now the kid's like, oh, that might be a cool thing to do, right? So now you're not, because it's not about minimizing, oh, we can't do anything else, so block shots. It's like, here's a real good strength of yours, and there's a guy that's very successful in hockey. If you do that, you can be like that guy, and then you can build off of that. If you get a little offensive upside as we go, then great. But really, right now, this is what I really see how you fit into our team and being really good at it. Like, we need guys like you. Now you've made that role great.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think as a coach, you're kind of talking about explaining the importance of what some people would view as like a lesser role. Yeah. And what's interesting too is like, even in youth hockey, when kids start to develop into their strengths, if they play into those, they'll probably be more offensive anyways. And this is something that a lot of players don't really understand, is that I'll think about Charlie for as an example, because I remember watching him through youth hockey, and like he still played like a power forward, right? So he put up way more offensive numbers in AAA because it's a way lesser level than the OHL, but his style of play was still suited to be a power forward. So he still made plays. He still scored a lot of goals. He still got all that offensive prowess about him, but he was still in that power forward type of player, right?
Back check.
Whereas like another guy like Newsy that he played with,
he was a water
bug. He was always a little water bug, slippery stick handle, sauce, like these types of things. And he got his points. And it was like two very different styles of play, both equated to a lot of offensive output for that team. You know, and I think that's something that people would do well to understand. Just because you're a defensive defenseman, for example, in youth hockey, like if you block a shot and make a good first pass, maybe that's an assist off the rush, you know? And like, so these things lead into offense because oftentimes, especially in youth hockey, if you're the best players, just get the points. So if you're one of the best defensive players, you'll probably end up being an offensive player anyways, just because you'll be a better player. You know, and I think for coaching, you can explain those types of things and how they're important so that kids don't think of them necessarily as a lesser role, right? And you don't have to explain it in terms of goals and points and stuff like that. It's just you're much better at passing than shooting, right? You're much better at shooting than passing. Or you're much better at hitting and making space for other people than carrying the puck yourself. You know, like these are things that can be explained to kids as they start to develop into their skill set. And you do need to keep in mind, the only caveat I'll say to that for coaches is like, you might also be wrong about what you think about this player. So you have to be open-minded to not box them in, which is a really important caveat to that, right?
Yeah. The other thing is, like, as you're talking about that, it's like, so when parents look at lines, first line, second line, third line, right? So if you take the fastest, most highly skilled guys that are more shooters, let's say they're goal scorers, and you put them on the first line, that might not be the greatest mix. So like, I'm going to Guelph Storm again. If you're a passer and you play with Matt Patra, that might not be the best combination because Potsy had 97 assists or 87 assists this year. So you know, if you're with him, you be ready to shoot the puck.
Yeah, someone's got to shoot.
Yeah. So you could have maybe the left winger that's on his line might be just a pure shooter, whereas the guy that's on the second or third line is actually a better player both ways. But because he's on the first line, doesn't mean that he's a first line player. He is, but it doesn't mean like that's because the three best guys on the team are on the first line. It's not necessarily what it means. It means that if you're thinking about it, this guy can click with this guy and this guy. This guy, oh, now we're on the second line. So mom and dad, don't freak out. It's not a bad thing necessarily. It could be, I guess, but it's like, think of it a little bit bigger, right? So as coaches, when you put guys together, it's like that's part of the equation, right? So the role thing is like explaining that stuff. It's like, you know, you're on this. If you want to call it the second line, it's the second line, but it's the combination that's more important. You work with him and like you work together and then you have success.
I have a good example of that when I played, I don't know if people would remember the name, Mattia Marcantoni was a kid I played with. He was a high, high pick in the OHL draft. I think he still plays in the AHL. I don't know if he's still there or moved over or whatever. Anyways, and I think it was Chris Marchese was the other guy.
Cheese dog.
Yeah, cheese.
Yeah.
So he... those two guys played on the Marlies.
Yeah.
They were my year. And it was exactly that dynamic where Marcantoni would wheel and deal and Marchese would just sit in the slot and just wait. He would just get the puck rep, scored. Ridiculous shot. So Marcantoni would buzz around, get the puck, make a play, sauce, whatever. And then Marchese would just be floating around in the honey hole, waiting for his shot, get it, rip. And what's funny is they complemented each other so well. So they were so dominant in youth hockey. And then they got to the OHL. And then Marcantoni went to, I believe it was Kitchener. And Marchese went, I forget where, but then Erie. And then ended up on the Spitz. And they never found that dynamic again, you know? So they were still both good players in the OHL. They both played their full career or whatever. And they were good players. But it was never the same level of dominance because maybe they were never put in that position where it's like, okay, a wheel and deal guy with a shooter, or a wheel and deal guy with a shooter with a guy that can make some space, or whatever the dynamic needs to be for them to be successful. And that can happen a lot in youth hockey. You can set those up as the coach. You can try to set up those types of dynamics and explain it. And the explaining is what's important, because if you don't, it could be like, yeah, but his best friend is not on his line anymore, or whatever the situation is. They need to understand. So you can say, okay, I see you as a guy that carries the puck well. I see you as a guy that shoots well. And I see you as a guy that goes to the net well. And that's obviously like the perfect trifecta that I could explain. Obviously, you won't necessarily have that perfect balance on all three lines, but those are the types of things that you can try to shape within the team that you have. Because then you're developing guys in different roles, and you might have guys that are bigger, smaller, faster, slower, better shooters versus not. And you can start pushing them into their strengths a little bit more while still giving them the freedom to like try to make a play. Like if the kid tried to do a toe drag and screwed it up, it's like, it's okay. He tried to make a play and he screwed it up. You know, I used that example last week too. It was like, if the guy does it at, tries to make a play at a bad time or a bad position on the ice, that's one thing where you teach them. But if they're like in the corner and they try to make a play, it's like, you're going to be mad that they tried to make a play? Like, you shouldn't really, you know? So anyways, those are kind of my thoughts on the roles thing, I guess. Do you have anything else about, I don't know, either whether it's limiting growth or like roles on the team or how to balance that with
Well, you mentioned
stuff like
leadership,
that.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm not a big fan of naming captains or anything, but like, look at leadership a different way, right? When the game's on the line, what players do you count on? Like if you're trying to win a game or a championship game or the playoff game or whatever, you'll notice that some kids aren't built for that, right? So if you're going to the guy that had a great regular season or played really well, like because you can disguise a lot of your true hockey playing, like when it's not important, like when the pressure's on, can you perform? So if you notice, like in the bigger games or whatever, you got a guy that's really uptight, or maybe you don't notice, but you're like, because he was the goal scorer, the big guy on the team, and you're like, before the game, okay, we need you here, man. We need you to have a big game. That could throw him right off. Right. So it's understanding as a coach, understanding your players as well. Like you got to watch who's in the bigger games and the moments where it really counts, who kind of gets nervous, who gets scared, who doesn't want to make the mistake and stuff like that. So like from that perspective, knowing your team in that way is a good idea, because some kids will never say it. Who would? Right. Are you scared of anything, Eric? No. Right? That's the answer. Like, no one wants to show fear or inferiority. I know. I'm just reading a lot lately. Right? No one wants to show weakness, right? So no one's going to sit there and say, like, don't play me in overtime. But kids actually, a ton of guys, don't get me out there. So, like, kind of knowing your team. So that's why you got to observe your kids in roles. Like, so that now that role is that we need to win a game. We need to shut down. Right? The goal is to protect this one goal lead with the last minute and a half. Don't make it, guys, we cannot, like, so that message of don't make a mistake, for some guys, it's like, okay, I can't make a mistake, and then they're screwed, right? So some guys can handle the pressure, so it's like knowing those kind of roles too, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even really think of that.
Well, no, for sure, and then it's like, yeah, so there's a lot of stuff. There's so many ways to look at things, right?
Yeah. Well, we talked about some of the personality stuff, and we talked about roles and whatever during the game. Is there any other, when it comes to the players, anything else that you think we should touch on in terms of either of those two things, personality types, roles, whatever, anything come to mind?
No, really? I mean, like the other on the ice would be like also like penalty kill versus PK versus 5-on-5 and all that kind of stuff. Like sometimes your role is just not suited for that as much. Like, I mean, we're youth hockey, everyone needs to play, but when it talking down to the crunch time, right? But I think it's important that, like, if you're trying to win hockey games, put people in places where they can succeed, and or where your team can succeed as well. So, like, yeah. Anyways,
well, let's talk a little bit about parents and how it plays into this, because this is the confounding factor, to use a term, is the parents a lot of times when it comes to how the individuals behave, especially within a team. So you got to keep in mind you only see the kids X number of hours a week, and the rest of the time they have mom and dad or someone that is in their ear about whatever it is, good or bad. So I wanted to start first, obviously you're pointing out that when it comes to individuals, parents are also individuals and they come as a package deal with their kids. So that's something that you have to learn how to navigate. And I think a lot of these strategies, that we're talking about the players could also apply to the parents in a lot of ways. So maybe you can start, if you want to even talk about when you were coaching, dealing with parents, or even how we deal with parents now. Maybe like starting like right off the hop with your team, like start of the year or whatever, like how to kind of set the tone with the parents, or whatever, how to deal with the parents through the season too, however you want to take that.
Toughest thing, right? It's the toughest thing. And I'm not saying this in an all negative fashion. It's the toughest thing because, you know, there's so many dynamics to that, because you could have a dad and say parents that were super athletes and they just get sports and they have an opinion, okay, right or wrong. You can have the next set of parents that have never played a sport in their life, that are out of shape, they've never been in a dressing room, they can't understand why someone maybe missed a shift or the craziness that goes on in hockey, right? You can, like, there's that. So you can't even relate to them. You could be talking to, you know, for my personality, like, don't be a baby. But then you could be talking to a parent that they baby their kids all the time. It's like they can't wipe their own ass, right? So there's just so many dynamics. So, like, the only thing you could say as a coach is, this is my philosophy, this is what I expect. And that's take it or leave it. Like, honestly, for me, that's take it or leave it. Like I said, like, I was not a guy, I was not a be there early guy and stretch and waste an hour every time, like, for practices. Like, I'm going to work with you. I need my kids there 10 minutes before. Whereas some people will go against that. But you know what? If that's the coach's rules, maybe you can ask them privately or in a group meeting or whatever. But those are his rules. So as a coach, you set the guidelines to what you want your team to be. And then no matter what that is, if there's 20 people on your team, then you're going to have a third, a third, a third. Third that love it, third that don't, third that want to, that are indifferent. So I don't think that the hardest part about coaching is parenting, but it doesn't make the parents wrong. It's just a difference in philosophy, honest to goodness. Now, when it comes to the actual game of hockey, there's right and wrong, but the way they deal with things is not. So where your parameters to me are untouchable is like, your coaching, the actual on ice coaching. This is how I coach. This is the way it is. How the parents deal with the kids, or how you do it, and how you coach them. But how the parents deal with the kids is just something that I don't know if you can ever get a grasp of. I don't know if that's possible. Like, I'm just thinking, like, me being the perfect dad and coach. No, but what I mean by that is, like, being around the game and thinking that my way, I think my way is the right way. I do. So some people would look at me like the coach, like, because coaches ask, right? Like, they want my opinion on things and stuff like that. And I say something like, well, just let them play, man. Like, it's not that important right now when they're 13. Well, that could be like the wrong answer for that coach. It's like, the guy doesn't care. He doesn't help his kid out at all, like, which isn't true, right? So everybody rubs a coach the wrong way at some point.
What about like how much or how involved you would be with the parents? Like, because this is where, like, I think there's a lot of, like, gray area. And, I mean, this tails into a couple different topics, right? Because not only is it, like, okay, how involved do you want to be with the parents? Like, how much you're going to talk to them or interact with them? But then it's, like, the optics, right? It's, like, giving, like, oh, you're buddies with these parents. Or, like, you're not buddies with, you don't like this parent. Or even with the kids, for that matter. Like, you're talking more to this kid than this kid, or however you want to slice that up. So what about that kind of?
It's a good question. Well,
like, what did you do when you were a coach? Like, when you, in terms of like talking with parents or whatever?
Yeah. Okay. So, like, no big deal for me. I don't like a lot of people, so I'm not hanging out with you. And then, like, you know, the way I am, I like who I like, and I like a lot, but that doesn't change the hockey piece. So, like, my buddy talked about, like, here's a perfect thing, was a very good friend of mine, not before hockey, but as we met, and it wasn't because we're alike. So he's the one that called me the one time. His son went to Harvard. He's the one that called me as a friend, and he goes, I don't want to be this guy, Andy, but I just ask a question for you. He's like, how come you never put on the power play? So we're great friends. And I said, because it doesn't change my hockey philosophy. But I told him that going in, hang out all day, but I'm going to treat your kid the way he needs to be coached. So it was like, because I don't want to put him in weak situations where he looks bad. You want him to get a scholarship, right? He goes, yeah. I said, so if I put him on the power play, he fumbles pucks all the time. Is that good for him? Is like that make you happy? Like it might make you happy, but it's not helping the team, not helping him. So that will never change for me.
Well, do you think you should be? This is one of those questions
approachable.
That does, yeah, that. But yes. That's not what I was going to say though. Because this is one of those questions that doesn't have a right answer really. But like, should you be aware of the optics of how you are as
Why
a coach?
Why do I care?
But this is a real question though, right?
No, I know. This is my real answer.
If you have two close buddies on the team and you're always hanging out with them, should you try to manage that while you're coaching the team for the sake of, I don't know, the appearance of fairness or whatever the situation might be?
I never have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I would have, anybody could have a problem with that. Like if I was a coach, you could have a problem with that. If you're my best, we're hanging around all the time and your kid's mid pack or less and he's getting a different.
Well, there's the
fine
line, right?
Well, that's the fine line, but that's what you have to, that's where you have to be a good coach. And that's where our friendship, does our friendship hinge on your ice time? Or are we friends because we're friends? And after, if we go out for a beer after we talk about the game, are you going to get on me and talk about your son's ice time because I didn't give it to him? Or is it okay if I say, dude, I'm coaching the team? Like, that's where real friends come. So I don't, the optics of that, to me, that makes no difference. Now, to a lot of people, it does, right? But again, when I was a parent and I was watching the coach, I saw people wanting to be the coach's friend because that's the way they're in was, and I didn't care. Like, you're going to go and talk to them and make sure you get them a coffee or whatever and all that stuff. That's fine because you're not beating, my kid's going to beat your kid out anyways. Right. You know, if you had to struggle for ice time because of that, then for me as a parent, I wouldn't really care. But no, I shouldn't say I wouldn't care. If I lose ice, if my son was at the level where he's losing ice time because of a best friend, then he's not really a hockey player anyways.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like,
I think it comes down to like, if you're, as long as you're honest about what's going on and transparent about what's going on, then the integrity piece, obviously, as a coach, then, because that's how I feel too. I think the optics don't matter because like naturally you're still a human.
Why can't
like,
I have a friend?
Yeah. Right. Like you're still a human. Like, right.
Yeah. Why can't, you're going to get in life, you're going to get along with people. Certain people and other people, it's like whatever.
Yeah, well, then this kind of plays into the handling conflicts, which we're gonna do a whole episode on just conflicts alone, so we can kind of just touch this briefly. But like between like parent conflicts or coach player these types of things, what was your philosophy as a coach when you were dealing with these kinds of situations? If you got like two kids that are feuding with each other, or parents that don't like each other because, you know, all the parents get all clicky and shit like that. So how did you deal with that kind of stuff, or did you just kind of leave it to them to
sort
it out? Well,
I left that part to them, but what I would always... I'm not a big fan in youth hockey of a coach that you can't talk to me because I'm the coach. Well, that's not necessarily fair because, like I said, I gave you examples of all different types of parents. Some parents just get sports and they never have a conversation. Some people don't care because they think it's just a fun game. Some people are all over every little thing. So to sit there and say, no talking to me because I'm the coach, I think it's a bad idea. I never really used that 24-hour rule because I always told, this is what I always, all my parents, you have a problem, come talk to me. There's these parent liaisons that most people use. I didn't like that. I don't need someone...
A third party
coming to me 24 hours saying, okay, Eric, has an issue with this. Just come and talk to me. And then I could say, well, I don't want to talk about it now. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'll call you or whatever. And that's fine. I'd rather that. Now, if it happens every 4 minutes, it's enough. You know, so I never had a problem with that because I think it's important as a, sometimes you just want to know. I mean, I would love for like with my son playing. If the coach and the general manager called me every time to explain what we're doing with the team, we might be trading for this. Your son will be here, and next year he'll be here, getting this much ice, and know for sure on the power play and stuff. Like, I'd love to know that stuff, but that's not going to happen, and it doesn't need to happen. So that's the way I feel about that level, but in youth hockey, I think parents just don't understand. So I think it's important that they have a clue about their kids. And it could be things like, why isn't he on the power? Like I said, with that guy, it's like, and then you talk to him, have a good conversation. They go, oh, okay. That makes sense. Okay. Thank you. And it could also be, well, you're the biggest asshole ever for not putting my kid in the power play. So okay, now it's over.
Yeah.
I'm not changing that.
Well, like, then what about if we take it away from the parents? Because we'll go into this more in depth later, but even just for players, if there's like, you know, two kids on the team fighting or something like that, what's that move? Same thing?
Fighting on the bench, fighting in
the
room.
Yeah, just like they don't like each other, like whatever.
Yeah, it's not the biggest problem. I mean, you want your kids to get along as best they can, but you can hate each other the minute you walk out of the dressing room. That's fine. When you have to understand the dynamic of a team. The team is a team. And you guys are playing, you have to get along. Like, that's the play to make. It doesn't matter if you like the guy, right? If you're on a 2-on-1 and the D's coming straight at you and you move the puck to that guy, that's the play. Well, that's the play. It's not, well, I don't like him.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, most people don't play hockey like that, anyways.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, yeah. You know what I mean, though. And yeah. Then if you have to eliminate the name on the back of the jersey when you're playing, and play for like it's funny I say this because it's like people say it, play for the crest. That's you have to learn how to play for the crest on the front of your jersey, not the name. So no matter who scores a goal on your team or who does something well, you have to be. That's my team. Our team did something well, and that's the hardest concept I think for kids and parents to understand. It's actually a team. And when you get team guys, that's how you win. Yeah. Or that's how a team works. So yeah, so as a coach, of course, if there's bickering and stuff like that, I would take two of them and say that exactly that. So I don't care. I would like it if you guys got along or at least can be civil. But this is a team, and when you're in this, anything to do with the team, you don't have to be best friends. But we are a team, and that's the bottom line. We're in this together. So you have to play together, and that's that.
Yeah, it goes back to what we said at the start. It's a team sport, not an individual sport.
Yeah.
I think a lot of parents forget that a lot of times, too, because they get so caught up with just their kid, right?
Dude, it's so important to understand. That's why the roles are important. Like that's why not worrying about what line your kid is on or what role they have, because honestly, a lot of the times the kids are good with it. Right. If you give them a we'll call it a role, but if you, as long as they're getting coached and they're getting like in youth hockey, anyways, they're getting like decent amount of ice time each. Like they feel like they're a part of a team. Most of them are just happy to do that. Yeah. And it's usually the parents that have the biggest problem and send it down to the kid. And guilty.
Yeah, for sure.
Like I'm just like everyone else. Like I've said things to my son where I go, ah, geez, why'd you say it? Or I'll carve a kid here and there. Not good, but I love my kid. He'll say, yeah, but.
Right, he exactly.
Sticks up for the coaches. Like yeah. I'm talking even youth hockey coaches and kids. So it's like, that's what you want. But it's the team, man. It's the team. It's the team.
Well,
it's the team.
I guess the last thing with the parents, then we'll finish on this, is just what about like handling the over-involved parent and then the kid paying for the parent behavior. So one would be the guy that calls you every 4 minutes, good or bad, whatever, or the guy that causes shit on the team or whatever, and then you got, okay, now you're making me not like your kid because you're a pain in my ass. And then I don't know your thoughts on that, I guess.
Yeah, well, this is only me. I never really let people get too involved, and at the end of the day it really didn't matter, because like I said, I wanted to coach the team, not the parents, and wasn't there to please necessarily anybody, right? The team rules or the way we played hockey is the way we play hockey. That wasn't going to change. Over-involved parent, if it's affecting the kid, I could have a conversation about that a lot. Like you know, I'm telling them one thing, but it certainly looks or it appears or I know that you're telling them something else, and here's why. And that's fine. I'm fine with that. But a lot of the times those people don't change. Sometimes they do. That's fine. And what was the last piece?
Taking it out on the kid.
Well, sometimes you got to do it.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm not saying because you don't like the dad, you're going to staple the kid's ass to the bed. What I am saying, right?
Yeah. I didn't know where you were going to go with that one.
But when a dad is causing problems and he's the mouthpiece starting rumors, or he's on the blog things talking shit, and you know, then people find out who it is. I mean, you can tell who they are. This isn't really hard, right? And they always have the side meetings here and there, and you know, they're just nothing but trouble, or the kid's late or showed a bad attitude or reflects some of the shit that his dad's putting on. It's like, yeah, okay, that's fine. Don't play quite as much tonight. That's not a problem for me. You know, and I think sometimes, you know, a lot of people say that dad shouldn't have to, my dad and mom shouldn't have to play for the dad's out there yelling at the ref over and is embarrassing the team. It's like, that's fine. They can just sit down for a while. And to me, that's just reasonable because they got to learn too. Like, this is a team, and that's in youth hockey, the parents are part of the team, unfortunately. Yeah, that's right. Not unfortunately. Like, I don't mean that unfortunately, like, your parents should never be there, but like, a lot of the negative stuff come from parents. I don't want to shit on parents. They wouldn't have kids if they didn't have parents. Right? But what I'm saying is, like, the kids are usually fine. It's the parents that don't really know, or they're overprotected, whatever the reasons are.
It's kind of the only lever you have to pull sometimes too, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, 100%. So I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
No problem
with
that.
You kind of just said it in passing. You can't please everyone, and you probably won't as a coach. You definitely won't. Not probably.
100% you won't.
But I think as long as you default to that, like, being honest and transparent as much as you can, and then having integrity and laying out exactly how you're going to coach, and then following what you say best you can.
Yeah.
And obviously there's going to be problems that come up because things happen that parents don't see, or people don't see that what's going on behind the scenes all the time. But as long as you do the best you can on that, then I think you'll be in pretty good shape.
And we were just talking earlier, and like, there's a lot of teams that do summer skates, and I was saying earlier, like, a lot of the junior, not OHL, you're not allowed to, but a lot of the junior teams do. And I'm like, I don't know why anybody would want to do that. Obviously, there's money making, right? But when that's suggested, I'm like, why would you ever do that to a coach or a kid? Because this is a reality, right? And the reason I'm saying this is because you said everyone's going to dislike you at some point. Is that what we said?
More or less.
More or less. The longer you have them, the more people will dislike you. You know what I mean? So, like, the coaches that do summer skates, it's like the season is September to, let's say, April, March, April. That's a lot of time to spend with a team. You start adding in summer skates and stuff like that, it just gets tiresome for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to please everybody 100%.
Yeah. Anything else? Because we can shut her down here because it's time to go home.
Yeah.
what else we got? Anything else to say here before we go to the next one?
Parents,
personalities, roles.
No, I think remarks. I'm good. I think I'm good.
Okay. I think that's a good summary.
Yeah. But I'll finish with this. Like, you do have to individually coach. Like, if you don't do that, you're missing the boat. Not because at the end of the day, like, we're talking youth hockey, I'm talking junior hockey. It's all the same. Not all the same, but it's important to know. If you don't have a relationship with kids, then you've never affected them. And if you haven't showed them the care. And the biggest thing that I would like a coach to know is that people don't care how much, you know, say it all the time. People don't know how much you don't care how much you know.
Until they know how much you care.
Until they know how much you care. And not just that, but how much you care about them. And by taking individual coaching, where you take a team, you pull kids aside, and you just talk to them, tell them what you like, what you don't like, how's your day, all those little things. And all of a sudden, you got a kid that's going to remember you. Not because no one's going to remember your X and O's. No one gives a shit. No one cares. Coach gets fired. Coach leaves. The kids forget about it like that. Unless that coach was special to them. And special doesn't mean you have to take them out for breakfast every day. That's not what I'm saying. It's just taking the time to develop you as a human, right? That's where my favorite coaches come in. They actually spent, and one of my favorite coaches and people that know him will laugh. But yeah, Bill LaForge. He was crazy, man. Crazy. He had us doing crazy ass things. But for me, his first coach in junior, walking by the office, and he said, "Andy, come here." Walked in there. Shit going on at home. Recognized it. Recognized some stuff in my life. And he just talked to me. If anyone's getting out of shape, he'd, "Hey, come here. Getting fat. Let's get on the thing." Like, that could be a hurtful thing, right? But you gain your 5 pounds up, on the bike after because I want you to be a good player. We need you to perform. He paid attention, right? He didn't just say, he didn't say the guys that were on the chubby side, the Breakfast Club guys, that, well, you play yourself out of the league. No, he took the time to do it. He would always explain, not always explain, but he took the time individually to do a little bit. And he was like crazy, man. But he actually spent time. So that's where I appreciate him. And a lot, that's what I said. A lot of guys that played with him, they say, do you actually liked him for that? Yeah. I remember him. And I could say, like, I could say one good thing about him, and that was that. Other coaches I've had, I could say all bad things. I can't remember them for one good thing. I'm being honest. So that individual attention means the world to every single player.
Yeah, it's honestly probably key to success for most teams, if you can wrap your head around that. So we're going to change gears a little bit next week. We're going to talk about coaching during a game and coaching practices. So that'll be a little change up from the team identity, individual stuff. So we'll see you guys next week. If you have any questions about that for the members, I'm going to send an email out so you can ask questions because we're going to do a Q&A episode at the end. So keep an eye out for that. We'll see you guys next week.